Okay. For a handful of hours, we're going to talk about alternative reality. We're going to talk about options you have to pursue seeing the world differently and what that would mean for you. Now, I like to think in terms of ancient mystery schools because I'm very captivated by knowledge that has always been on the earth. I'm captivated by it, and you are here because some part of you is engaged in a process of change, the size of which, the dynamic of which, you have no idea. But you've been drafted, is one way to put it, into a process that is pushing your unconscious into your conscious world. Let me describe what's going on in your lives. Each of you has been through a journey or is in a journey in which your connection to your old life is not the same, in which the things that used to make you very happy don't anymore, and the ambitions or the plans in your life have been in some way stopped or interfered with, that you have some desire to do something else, but you don't know how to do it, and for the life of you, you can't figure out what it is. All you know is that you're wired with an energy that's telling you, I was born to do something other than what I am doing. Now, what is it? Am I wrong? Okay, this is, you wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't like that. You would. But now the question is to understand what's going on that all of you are going through that. So the first thing I want to talk about is the call to live the symbolic life. I want to set an atmosphere, and I would like you to try your best to stay in that atmosphere of thought, because this is what's true. The atmosphere that you maintain within yourself determines your receptivity. Now, there are two ways to think of you, and one is your body's in this room, but how much of the rest of you is in this room? So there's a part of you that's local, and there's a part of you that's non-local. The non-local part is how many places are you other than here? How many? Now, when I was doing a lot of readings on people, what I realized, and these are the kind of things that filled me with awe. Nothing about doing a reading filled me with awe. That's elementary. That's nothing. What filled me with awe is the way we are. One of the ways we are is that when I would do a reading on people, what I do is I'll show you what you look like. I draw this little guy all the time. Oh, this is going to be great. Can you even see it? All right. Now, this is my symbol now. Did you see it on everything? I love this thing. Because what this represents to me is the life force. Because this is your energy field, and you should reduce yourself to about as simple a mental image as you can. Because the less complicated you can think of yourself, the better off you are going to be. And if you recognize that, in a nutshell, your role in this lifetime is to figure out how to keep yourself in this circle. That's all there's to it. What it takes to keep in yourself in that circle is what we're going to talk about. But the fact is, this is your goal. That's all there's to it. Keep yourself in this circle. Now, here's your life force. Here's your prana, your grace. I don't care what you call it. But this is what you look like. And when I do readings on people, what it is that I track you and I find out where your life force is other than here. Where are you other than here? It's as simple as that. You're going to start tracking yourself, because the greatest thing you can learn is to sense when your energy is leaving your body, why and where it's going. And then, how do you get your energy back? How do you do that? And that's where symbolic sight is, because the reason why people disintegrate, a great contributor to illness, is the literal world and the fact that you cannot stop taking things literally. that you get caught in this thought form that says, I need to know why things happen as they do. Why did this happen to me? You have words like, I don't deserve this. I'm such a good person. All this kind of nonsense that keeps you anchored in experiences that you cannot siphon the significance out of. And so each of these, I want you to think about that, is a different time zone. Some of you are living in 100 different time zones. Is that a thought? Some of you are living in 50. So when you walk in this room and sit down, I don't think of you as one person. I think of you as centuries, years, how are you, where are you? Sometimes when I have been working with people or teaching, I watch people drift and I think, where are you? 1962? 1980? Where are you? Other than here. And if I said to you now, just for this weekend, just for our tiny little amount of hours together, I want you to keep your attention completely in present time. Not just because I'm a brilliant teacher, but just to see if you can do it. Pay attention this weekend to what causes you to lose your power. Start an exercise and then jot down, I got to get a symbolic reason why I'm losing power here. What makes you lose your power? Have you even any idea? What causes you to lose your power? And how many things cause you to lose your power? And how many contradictions do you have in yourself? I remember coming back from a retreat one time, and I was feeling very, very enlightened. And it was that classic story of the student that goes to the master and says, why aren't you returning my letters? I've told you, I wrote you, I'm enlightened. And every time he wrote his master, the master would write back and say, oh, baloney, or poo-poo was actually the way the story is told. So the student turns up and he's very angry and he says, how could you say this to me because I'm so enlightened and this is what I get back from you? And he says, well, if you're that enlightened, how can the word poo do this to you? You see? So when you think about how enlightened we get so overloaded, and what you got to take a look at is how the tiniest thing throws you a curveball. How the tiniest thing absolutely sends you on a spiral. I was on Michigan Avenue in Chicago and I saw this cab driver and he took a bag from McDonald's. He just finished his McDonald's. He threw it out on Michigan Avenue. So I went up to the cab and I opened up the door and I said, do please get your body out of that and go get that now. And I ended up with one of those stare downs, and I said, you will get that trash now. And so it was, and finally it was, you will, and I got in that sort of focus, don't you dare trash up. And then, can you believe it, I asked him to take me somewhere. Why would I do that? I'm lucky he didn't drive east till my hat floated, but I really thought to myself in those moments, Carol, hold your gut. Carol, hold your power. But the reality is, I was shaking all day. I was shaking all day. I was shaking at my own response because I actually wanted to smack him. But I was also shaking from the fact that I could not maintain center in an exchange with someone over a used McDonald's paper. You know, if you're going to lose your center, make it a worthy cause. You know, if you're going to have to go into therapeutic recovery, for God's sake, be proud of why you're in there. You don't want to go in your analyst and say, I can't manage McDonald's trash bags. I mean, you know, it's not in keeping with what I teach, you know, to be perfectly honest with you. There comes a moment. But you see my point. So let me give you a reference as to what's going on in the world, and in the cosmic sense, the greater paradigm. And then what I'd like to do is examine just a little bit, give you examples of symbolic sight applied to the larger atmosphere of the global village, and then we'll take it down, and I'll begin to talk to you and teach you about how one to look at levels of consciousness and how they are divided.